Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, how was your weekend?
It was marvelous. Had a good time, a very relaxing Mother's Day. We watched movies and we had buffalo chicken pizza. Homemade.
Homemade. Wow. Sounds exotic.
It was fantastic. But I needed my rest because I knew that this was going to be a whirlwind week. And then next week, we're back on the road again, Willie.
That's right. Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas for Training Pros. That's the client. And we're doing the ASTD grand
the big show.
Big thing.
That's right.
So that's going to be a lot of fun, but not any more fun than what we're going to do this morning. In this segment, a little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with George Machini with Catavolt. Apparently, he is one of the TAG 2013 Top 40 Innovative Technology Companies. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome back to the Business Radio X studio, Mr. David Duncan. How you been, man?
I've been all right. How about you guys?
Doing good. And I'd like to talk about this Atlanta entrepreneurial and startup ecosystem that's been bubbling about. A lot of talk, a lot of activity too, not just talk.
Absolutely. It's a lot of activity. I think there's been really a lot of activity happening for the last several years and not a lot of talk. That's why people aren't as aware of what's happening in Atlanta,
right?
And what a vibrant community we have in the startup and entrepreneurial world.
Now it seems in the last year or so we've had some incubatory, co-working space, hybrid kind of entities pop up. We've had Hypoponymous, we've had Atlanta Tech Village, Flashpoint. Are you seeing a lot of that?
Absolutely. They're all. All of those organizations and co-working spaces, incubators, accelerators are all taking part in kind of this movement that's happening in Atlanta. We're drawing a lot of companies that are not only starting up here but staying here.
Right.
People are getting funded here, which is nice to see.
And people who have exited are staying here and giving back to
yes.
the community. They're not just saying thanks, bye, and going to the Bahamas.
You know, prime example is David Cummings with the Atlanta Tech Village.
Right.
I got to know David a little bit through EO Atlanta, which I've talked with you guys about.
Was he part
times.
Of that?
And he's an EO member.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Johnson Cook, who is the executive director for Atlanta Tech Village, is also an EO Atlanta member.
And why don't we explain to the listeners who aren't as familiar with EO?
Okay, so EO is the Entrepreneurs Organization. It's a global nonprofit. There's about 8,500 members
around the world. And you're the president or past president of the Atlanta chapter?
Both. Well,
both? You're both?
I'm a past
future and current.
Two-time past president now. I just ended my role as president. We've got Hanno Ekdahl is serving as president now, and actually the Atlanta board for EO is on their way to Panama City for it's a global leadership conference where they're learning about the roles and everything.
And can you talk a little bit about the Atlanta chapter?
Sure. So we've got about 135 members. We represent almost $3 billion in annual revenue. Average age is 41, and we put on some great learning events and content for our members. We have a good time.
And it's entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, right? It's
it
not
is.
A vendor-driven
no.
networking,
pitchy
thing, right?
It's the opposite of that.
Right.
There's no – it's a very strong no solicitation policy, so you can't go in there and try to –
Sell somebody something.
But a lot of business happens among EO members.
Sure.
So it's really based in experience sharing and peer-to-peer learning. Since it's a nonprofit, no one is, all the energy that comes out of it is really just because people love it and people love the vision and mission of the organization.
Now, EO has also stepped up as an organization to be part of this Startup Atlanta.
Yes.
And then who are the other players?
Well, we came together with Invest Atlanta and the Metro Atlanta Chamber.
And the mission and purpose?
The mission and purpose of Startup Atlanta is to highlight Atlanta as a world-class community for startups and entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everyone realizes Atlanta's got a great quality of life.
Right. There's a lot of assets here.
A lot of assets.
Right. We got an international airport.
Absolutely.
Colleges, university system.
And the university system is one of the strongest aspects, I think. I mean, it's, you know, the innovation and technologies coming out of Georgia Tech.
Right.
Coming out of their ATDC, their incubator program, and things like Flashpoint. So what we realized is all of these different organizations, you know, EO, ATV, ATDC, Hypopotamus are all kind of operating in silos.
Uh-huh.
And so Startup Atlanta's goal was to not compete with any of them, but serve as a voice for all of them.
Uh-huh. So you don't have like a duplication of efforts or resources?
No, we don't. No, we don't want to do that. Plus, we couldn't do it as well as any of them.
Right, individually. Sure.
Individually, they're all operating. They're incredible. They're
right.
Great content, great programs. So we just want to bring, you know, knowledge about what's happening to Atlanta and act as a portal for someone. If someone comes and says, well, you know, I really need to learn more about customer discovery, you know, we would say, okay, this is the program that you would probably fit best in right now.
And then, so what do you guys do? Like, now that you decided to, hey, let's all get together and be this portal, so how does that happen
well,
in real life?
We're just starting.
This is brand new?
It's brand new. We just finished the 501c6 organization.
So you're doing the paperwork to even get this thing kicked off.
Just finishing up the paperwork. We hired an executive director, and she started on May 1st.
Oh.
So I can come back and tell you what we've done
maybe
a couple months from now.
Absolutely. So what kind of resources do these startup folks need? Is it money, expertise, counsel?
Connections.
It's all of the above. You know, certainly everyone's going to – I would imagine most people are going to say, yeah, we could use money. But more so, I think it's guidance, expertise, and connections. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these programs do provide connections in a roundabout way.
Right. Don't you think that that's kind of a trap maybe some entrepreneurs fall in? They think, oh, if I had X number of dollars, then I'd really be able to get this thing going.
Yeah.
When really they don't. They probably don't need the money. They just need to meet the right channel partner,
Exactly.
That would solve a problem.
Exactly. Or maybe a fresh set of eyes, a different way of looking at it. You know, I personally, that was the exact thing with my business. We needed the money to grow, but more than just the money, we needed the help and expertise on how to grow.
Right.
And we brought in, we were acquired by a private equity firm that not only provided the money, but provided operational expertise. And that was a huge, huge benefit.
And then that catapulted you.
That catapulted us, yeah.
I mean, that's what you and I are finding as we continue to grow. We don't even know what questions to ask in a lot of situations, and we have a lot of nice people that are starting to want to help us out and talk about money or talk.
Yeah.
But you know, we haven't done this before, Lee and I either one, and we.
It's not like you can get a book that says here, this is my unique business, and this is what you need to do next.
Exactly, you know? And so Atlanta, you know, all of these different programs in Atlanta, they're offering that kind of experience sharing, that advice, that mentorship, whether it's one-on-one or, you know, groups of individual classes or anything. It's just, Atlanta does have a lot of successful, experienced entrepreneurs and people in the startup world. And those people are willing to step up and help grow the community.
Now, how do you know you're at a point that you would need that? Because a lot of entrepreneurs are kind of have that mentality that I can do this myself. You know, I started this thing, so I know what I'm doing. These people don't know what, you know, they may know their business, but mine's totally different.
That's the guy that's not ready.
You know, that's the guy or girl is going to fail probably. If you don't, you know, if you are that kind of hubristic, you're gonna fail.
So the quicker you can realize that you need help, the better you think you are.
I would think so. Yeah. I mean,
is that the way it was for your when you were doing your business?
Yeah.
So you knew that I got to get some smarter people around me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's one of the thing. One of the great things about EO, when I was just finishing as president right now, I've been thinking about what we were able to do. And it wasn't me that did it. It was the group of people I had as my board of directors who are all way smarter than I am, way more accomplished than I am. And I kind of was just the person to organize that group. I didn't do anything special. They all made it happen.
So you formed a board of directors early on?
Yeah, I mean, that's standard for EO. I mean, each chapter has a board.
Oh, so that's what you're calling your board of directors?
Yeah.
Your group, your EO
for
group?
For EO, for running the chapter, I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
You know, I learned a ton. It was an incredible experience for me because I got to learn how all these people operated and
you took the best parts of each of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Uh-huh. I mean, that's the only way I can learn is just by
someone else's scar tissue.
Exactly.
But you're suggesting that's an important strategy for people in startup mode to establish a board of directors and.
Board of advisors, board of directors, something, you know, that can provide unbiased, not thoughts, but unbiased experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Everyone's going to be – everyone is an expert at, you know,
something.
At something, mm-hmm. Right. Or everyone thinks they're an expert and can give advice. But the people that can share relevant experience, I think, are the most valuable. I mean, that's who I look for, is someone that has relevant experience.
And so do you mind kind of going back in time a little bit? And how did you form that board of directors? Did you start with 2, 4, 8, 10? How did that evolve?
Well, for EO, I mean, there's a core group that you need to have to run the organization. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, Atlanta is, you know, we've got a strong chapter. There's people are aware of, the value you get for participating on this. So I looked for, one, the people that were engaged and wanting to be a leader in this organization. And I just said, hey, I don't know what capacity I'd like you to serve in, but I want you on the board. Will you either stay on the board because they'd probably been on it before or
right.
joining new? Like we had Scott Weiss from Speakeasy. He just joined the organization a few months prior, and when we were kind of talking about him joining the organization, I knew I wanted him on the board immediately.
Right.
So it doesn't matter how long you've been in the organization or anything. It's really kind of what you bring to the table and mm-hmm. personality.
So it wasn't that hard to get a group of engaged people that all kind of bought into the mission?
No. I would say that was pretty easy to do. The other thing that was great, before I even started as president, we already knew that Hanno Ekdahl was going to be the president after me.
Did he know?
He knew.
I know you knew.
But he and I sat down and I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to make sure he and I were aligned with what our shared vision of the organization was, because it really, I only had a year. And it would have made, one, a less successful year for me because, you know, if things are going to change at the end, you know, no one really has that buy-in.
Right.
It'd make a less successful less successful experience for Hanno, too, because he would be starting all over.
Right.
So he and I sat down together well over a year ago and, you know, decided that it was our goal to make Atlanta more of a visible presence, more of an influential entity in the Atlanta.
Like nationally, more than...
Well, in the Atlanta
in
community.
The metro area.
In the metro area. And that gave rise to Startup Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, we've sponsored other organizations and other events, like mm-hmm. the Business to Business Top 25 Entrepreneurs. We were one of the sponsors of that.
Mm-hmm.
things like that. And fortunately, you know, now it's not only Hano that is president, but we have Johnson Cook after him is going to
right,
be.
Right, so you've already got the next guy in mind there.
Three people. Right. Johnson's been on the board, and he's very much in aligned with our vision of creating this influential organization within the Atlanta community.
Now, it seems – I know we've had a lot of startup-y people here and people at different levels.
Including David and Johnson.
Right.
Yeah.
And they come on and they're kind of frustrated by kind of Atlanta's place in the startup world globally or nationally at the minimum, but globally also, where, you know, Silicon Valley or Boston, New York gets a lot of attention, and we don't get as much attention, even though we have these assets that are extremely valuable and worthwhile. Is that part of the mission is to get the word out and just to,
absolutely,
you know, let us be part of that conversation as well?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what – I mean, that's really what the vision of Startup Atlanta is it's more of a marketing tool for Atlanta's existing community. And I think over the next 3 to 5 years, there's going to be a big – I don't know if you want to call it a shift or update in the perception of Atlanta's startup and entrepreneurial community. I think we're – on track to
you
be.
You think we're nearing a tipping point where
we are
going?
I believe we are.
Is that because that a lot of the people who have exited with some money are really kind of investing in the community?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But I think also that we've – just because we've started this conversation among all of the assets, you know, we meet quarterly not only through Startup Atlanta but there's a group of about 28 people representing all different organizations that meets monthly, sometimes quarterly, at ATDC. And it's really just to discuss, you know, what's been happening, what's going to be happening, how we can better be organized. I think, you know, in the coming year, you'll see a bigger presence when there's Venture Atlanta, you know, has got a huge presence now. There's going to be a whole week of activity all related to the startup and entrepreneurship.
Is that one of the objectives, is to get more venture funding, maybe nationally?
Yeah. I think that's...
People coming down here?
I think that's the case. I think we obviously want more transactions to happen in Atlanta, but but it's more about staying and operating in Atlanta.
Right.
Not starting up, getting funding and moving...
Well, that's what a lot of the venture firms, don't they want to kind of keep an eye on their investments? So they're saying, hey, I'm in Silicon Valley, so you come up here so I can watch you.
I think that's the case. I do think that might be shifting. I mean, I've been hearing a lot more of companies being funded from banks in Silicon Valley and staying here.
And then them okay with staying here.
Yeah, so I think that's changing a little bit.
I'll tell you, I find this whole idea of a platform, a voice for this community, and this portal that you're describing, I just find that incredibly attractive, because it seems like you can go to this centralized place, get some real direction for the specific resource or set of resources that you need. Man, fantastic work you're doing. That's incredible. I think it's terrific.
I'll tell you, cool. We were at Startup Riot, which is one of the startup events.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that I've seen so many out-of-state people coming here to look for funding. And in the past, it's been a lot of local firms, and I don't know if they changed the way that they're searching for firms who get to be, you know, to get to pitch there. But there was, I would say, I don't know how many companies pitched, but there was at least a half a dozen, 10 companies from other parts of the country.
Other parts of the world. There, I forget, I want to say it was some Scandinavian country where some people came from. Sanjay's done an unbelievable job.
Right, because that was a shift. I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah.
And that was really encouraging because I know that we're fighting for, you know, that kind of attention where people are going to come because it's worth their time to fly across the country or across the world to get here.
Yeah.
So that was pretty – I was pretty encouraged by that development.
So – but it can be a little overwhelming. You know, you and I have had the pleasure, Lee, in the last year to 18 months of really getting pretty immersed in this whole startup community here in the metro area. And we've met the Sanjays and the Michael Blakes and David Cummings and all these guys, and David Duncan. So it's a little bit overwhelming. I really am enamored with this portal idea. Is this going to be some sort of technology enabled kind of thing, or is it mostly just going to be managed through relationships?
Or is it relationship?
No, we're going to have we're in the process of working with web developers and coming up with a website that'll help drive this. But it's also more relationship based. I mean, it's it can't be exclusively just some sort of online tool, but there will be.
Right. It has to be a component. Yeah. Now, is this only tech firms, or is it like your firm
was not a tech firm, right? No, this is all, I mean, this is...
Any business.
This is business. Atlanta does have a strong nanotechnology and...
There's a healthcare IT.
Healthcare IT, but it's not... Atlanta's not limited to just
technology. There's also a film and gaming. There's all kinds of stuff happening here. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity. So you're not technology only.
No.
Where some of the groups that are a subset of your group are
specifically technology.
Right, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I want to help. I want to do something where I don't know if it's members of this community or leaders in this community come through and come on a show or a dedicated set. I want to do something to help have like a regular rhythm
to get the word out, to help you spread
that's a great idea.
Man, I'm delighted to do it. Yeah. I'm delighted to contribute any way that we can. I just think it's fantastic.
Because we've been doing a lot of work with the startups, but it tends to be techie. And I like the idea of broadening that to get the other groups that are doing interesting things around.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful idea. I mean, Talk about that a little bit later.
So now if people want to get involved with Startup Atlanta, are you open to getting more people involved, or is this, do you guys have? Absolutely.
Startupatlanta.com. You can sign up to get information.
And then you're kind of on a list and you can see what's going on.
Yeah.
And then EO?
You can go to eoaccess.org. Mm-hmm. That'll bring you to the national or a global website.
And then you drill down to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Is there only one EO group in Atlanta, or are there multiple EOs?
Just one.
So there's one for the whole metro area?
Yes. Yeah, we've got members that live in Athens.
Oh, and they come down?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm quite sincere about this idea of setting up this platform, but also you mentioned customer discovery.
Yeah.
We were at the Tide Atlanta thing. You were at that table. Yeah. So you or somebody has got to come back and talk about customer discovery, because I found that like 20, 30 minutes, some of the most – I mean, that was really thought-provoking, very informative, and it sparked how many conversations for you and I that whole week after. Right. So we got to have you come back and talk about
that. That was a neat event. Tide Atlanta.
That was a great event.
Yeah.
Tide Atlanta's they are another one of Atlanta's shining assets.
Right, but kind of on the down low. It's not like somebody – they're not like publicizing that – they're not as popular as the Metro. People have heard of the Metro Chamber, you know, but Tide Atlanta is kind of one of these little groups that are making a big impact in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great speaker. The guy was a healthcare kind of in Florida.
He was a terrific speaker, yeah. I remember he had the white coat on.
Right,
he was a great speaker. Some healthcare outfit,
but yeah, we're back to the customer discovery piece where you guys came in and sat down. That was just, I got to sit on one of those round tables and talk to, I don't know, we probably sat there probably 60
for
people.
Several hours.
Came cycling rotating through.
Standing room only. Wasn't Kevin Wallace at that table too as one of the panelists, or was that the other table?
That was another table.
A different table.
But Kevin Wallace, he's
right,
part of the
Hypopotamus.
There's just so many great people that are willing to contribute and help other people out, smart people that, like you said, have experience and is genuinely helpful. What a fantastic guy he is. What a great guy he is.
Yeah, I thought that was a great way to facilitate those kind of conversations.
It's
a really efficient way to get a lot of people, and you can pick the topics that were the most interest to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really cool event.
Okay, I took us down that whole road. You got me so excited about this platform and this portal. So one more time, let's leave our listeners with coordinates for Startup Atlanta so they can reach out and learn more.
Startupatlanta.com.
And get on the mailing list there, and then you can kind of stay up to date with whatever's happening around town.
Exactly. And just be listening. We're going to start marketing and publicizing
good
soon.
I mean, it's frustrating because this city is doing so much.
Gotta get the word out.
It's got to get you know, that standing in the United States as a whole has to kind of be better than what it is. I mean, we have too many assets.
Have you seen anything about what the Junior Achievement Group is doing down at the World Congress Center?
No.
The business they're doing it's a program for 6th and 7th graders.
Right. I know what Junior Achievement is.
But they're incorporating into their curriculum stuff on business. It's called Finance Park and Business Center or something. And it's these two built-out structures where they're bringing in students every day to learn how to manage money, how to run a business.
Wow, that's great.
And they're going to – it's an activity-based –
where they're doing stuff,
where
not
they're
just
going
listening
and doing
stuff.
Right. Yeah. And they've got it. I mean, Junior Achievement's done a wonderful thing. That they're building that into the curriculum.
The curriculum of elementary and middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
And so, you know, starting out at an early age, trying to get people interested, get students and kids
at least
interested.
Open to that idea of starting your own business,
yeah,
and doing this work that's, yeah, needed that way. No, that's super important.
That's terrific, because they're not getting that message in traditional curricula, at least,
right,
not up to now.
No, I don't think.
Or
so.
In college, for sure. I mean,
no.
There's not a lot of entrepreneurial programs in college.
Well, thanks again so much, David, for coming down and visiting with us, man. It's always a pleasure, and we're definitely gonna have you and your crew back. How about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us from Catavolt, Mr. George Machini. How you doing, man?
It's a pleasure to be here. Doing great. Thank you.
Well, we are delighted to have you. You sat there very politely. It looked like you nodded your head. I don't know if you took notes on the iPad. Did you learn anything from David Duncan in that segment?
Well, I just want to thank David. You know, the work that you're doing in the community is making an ecosystem that makes all of us better. And we started Catavolt in late 2008. And it was a different time back then. And I feel like we've come along a decade's worth of progress just in the last 2 years. And it's folks like David that are down there all the time contributing and helping us, the ones that are on the front lines, you know, do what we have to do through the community. So really, thank you, David. We appreciate it.
I'll send you a bill later on.
So tell us a little bit about Catavolt.
So Catavolt is, we're based out of Alpharetta, and we help companies leverage mobile and web to connect with their employees, their business-to-business partners, to do better business through what we feel like is a transformational period right now. So a lot of what we've done as companies before was using laptops and PCs and technology to make our business better, right? And now we have iPads and iPhones and the cloud in general, and it's a new era of computing. And it's one that a lot of businesses kind of struggle to figure out how to leverage the right way. So we help them do that.
Now, I'm sure the businesses are like, well, now I know most of my employees have smartphones, but I don't know if I really want them to have access to, like, the main computers of our company through their smartphone. You know, that seems a little dangerous, or the possibility of, you know, security issues and things like that. Do you help them manage that?
We really do. And I kind of equate it to selling internet in 1994. You go into a company and you say, you know, you guys need internet in your office. And they say, what? For what? What are we, well, you know? So it's a lot of the same thing. And as you saw with the internet and the web, we figured out how to do banking on it. Now we can't live without it. And it's just another transformational period. And we do help them figure out how to get that really valuable information that's locked up inside their four walls, that's actionable, into people's hands when they're making decisions. And I feel like that's probably the biggest promise that cloud and mobile has for businesses today.
Now, can you walk us through like a concrete example of maybe one of your clients? You don't have to name their name if you don't want to, but how that they were able to kind of make that leap, or you helped them make that leap to mobile?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that comes to us all the time is taking management, knowledge workers, and really expediting and making what they do a lot faster. And a lot of what they do are approvals. So think about yourselves being a sales manager, and anytime somebody quotes a customer that has a big discount, you have to go approve it. To approve it, you got to go back to your desk. You have to probably do a little bit of research. You know, why are we doing this discount? What's going on with this customer? Are they late on any bills? We don't want to discount that, right? And it takes time. So we found two things would happen. One is they would push it off till the very end, and be always be in a rush. And then number two, because they're in a rush and it takes so much time to do that research, they would either just run back to their desk, approve, reject, do whatever their job is. So what we do is we help those types of people be on their iPads, on their iPhones or Androids, whatever it is that's in their pocket, and not only be able to approve or reject, do their workflow from right then and there, which to us, we've seen that make it a much more good process, but also we make the data that they need to make that decision available right then and there. We take for granted a lot of times how our personal data is so accessible to us. You know, right now, while I'm talking to you, I could go on Facebook and figure out what a friend of mine from the seventh grade had for lunch, right? I mean, it's just amazing what's out there. And then if you think about your corporate life, when you're out there doing business, and David, you did a candle company for a while. And if you think about if you were running that today and you leverage this technology the right way, you could be sitting here and know what's going on in your factory, your sales reps, your orders right then and there and be right on top of it. And that's what we help companies do.
Now, are these mobile devices, are they more susceptible, less susceptible to the hardware breakdowns, viruses, security threats? Because my phone doesn't seem to get the viruses that my computer does.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, they're much more commodity. You know, we almost lease these devices. So if you think about it, as soon as you get a phone, a lot of times you upgrade it before it's even obsolete, right? Uh-huh. And then if something happens to it, I was showing the folks here in the room my phone, which I dropped just a couple of days ago. You just get back in and they transfer all your data over. That's a lot of that whole data is the cloud aspect of it. Very little of what we do is really stored on a hardware device that we carry around. Uh-huh. You know, my pictures, they're on the phone, but they're also backed up in, you know, iCloud or whatever you're using and whatnot. So we're finding the hardware just be the delivery mechanism and become commodity and become just readily available for our customers to use.
So the hardware is kind of like a dummy machine, and then our data is in the cloud. That machine is just how we access it today. But like you said, you broke your phone, and tomorrow you'll get a new phone, and all your data will magically appear in the new phone.
That's exactly right.
So it's not a consideration of whether it's more or less susceptible to viruses. Who cares? It's the same thing if you throw it in a swimming pool. You just call up you just go get you a new one, and you download all your stuff. So this cloud, this whole cloud movement is going hand in hand with this mobile movement.
Yeah, it really is. And then the last part is, because of the consumer drive, there's been a supply chain logistics built out where these devices, the internet access, the ability to just use them and kind of dispose of them has been established by Apple, by Google, by Motorola for the consumer out there. And the businesses can tap right into that. So that readily available device that you could get backed up to the cloud that you can replace, you know, very easily get on the internet, that was all set up for the consumer. So businesses can leverage all of that innovation that's happened in the last few years to apply it to their operations. And I thought it's just really powerful.
So now what about the businesses that have invested maybe in older technology? How do they make that kind of move in an affordable way? Or is that possible? They got to just kind of pull the Band-Aid off?
Well, I mean, that's a big Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. So that's the challenge. So the promise is that you could do better business, you could make better decisions and everything.
But can you ease into it?
The challenge is, let's kind of take a step back, is over the last 20 years, any sizable business has made several large investments in technology. And all of those are likely not mobile or cloud friendly. So now they're looking at it and saying, well, if I don't take advantage of this, I'm going to fall behind from a competitive standpoint. But I'm tied to the, you know, the investments I already made. And that's actually what Catavolt helps with quite a bit, because what we feel is that even though it's a revolution in terms of the capability, it's an evolution in terms of how you take advantage of it. So taking your existing IT assets, the parts that run your business that are stable, that are in your four walls, and extending them out to mobile devices through the cloud is the first step of being agile, taking advantage of this technology, but not throwing away or pulling the plug on anything that serves you.
And that's right in your wheelhouse. You help with that migration, or is that?
That's exactly right. So Catavolt's a cloud service that specializes in connecting with existing enterprise systems. turning them into a catalog of what you could do in those systems. Think about billing, think about Salesforce.com, you know, all the various things, systems you deployed, and then letting you access those from mobile devices. But we've seen some issues before when it was a little bit earlier in mobile. The access through mobile devices, a lot of it was like remote desktop, right, where you take your PC screen and you just plaster it on the device. And you, if you ever see somebody squinting trying to right-click a Windows screen on their iPad, you know it just doesn't work. So what Catavault does is we consume those systems and really extend out a native mobile application to users. So we have people, we have companies that run hardware and software from the 70s and 80s. And it just runs their business. It does, you know, millions and billions of transactions a day. And they're using it from iPads that look like that system was built to be used from an iPad. And that's really the power. It's not just one aspect of it. It's taking that really stable system, making it readily available, using that consumer device, and making your people better with that technology.
So for you, I got to believe, finding a group of people smarter than yourself to help you in this endeavor has got to be a lot harder than it was for Lee. You were able to find people smarter than
exactly,
yourself like really quickly, right? But did you find yourself following some of David Duncan's advice?
In terms of trusted advisors and board of directors?
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to start with that junior achievement. That sounds like some good courses down in Atlanta. No, there's so many aspects to what we're doing that's the first time for us.
Right.
That's not our first company. The group that started Catavault exited out of a software company in 2005. And so we felt like in the early days, kind of that example you were using earlier, like we've been through it once before.
Right.
But, you know, the market you target, the stage that you're in, the road that you choose out of the billions of choices in front of you, make it a unique experience. So you'll never find somebody that has that unique experience. That's why you need a group. What you find is a combination of insights and input that David was talking about that really help to paint a picture for you. So I think knowing people's history, learning their lessons, each one applies a little bit to your scenario, and putting it all together makes you just that much better.
So there's a lot of folks in this cloud space, and it sounds, and you're very articulate at describing your specific niche and your specialty. But still, you got to get out there, and it's got to get sold, or nobody eats. How do you guys go to market? How do you even get to have this kind of conversation with an exec in a company?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of noise out there. So what's exciting is we're in a industry where everybody's interested. You know, if you ask a company, would you like to leverage cloud or mobile to do better business? The answer is yes. But the problem is that 200 other people have asked them that same week if they're interested in that. So what we find is being really a good resource for companies that are researching, getting out into communities, being a thought leader, and really contributing. We've deployed a lot of mobile enablement in a lot of companies. Beyond the technology, we've learned a lot from that. Sharing that knowledge in a way that's not so much a commercial, but is truly trying to help people, really brings us into a different area where we could engage. And then obviously we do a lot of marketing. And with that, what we notice is we have to look at our message almost on a daily basis, because the definition of words are changing. You know, what cloud is, it continues to have more and more onto the definition. And then larger companies like the Intels and the Microsofts and the Googles will redefine what those words mean for whatever they're doing at the time. So it's definitely an ongoing, constant, you know, tweaking process.
Now, do you have a sweet spot of an industry or group that you work best with?
So because we have a very solid focus on security and enabling large enterprise systems that are often legacy, we find ourselves really doing a lot more in healthcare, large manufacturing, pharmaceuticals. Think about the big companies that have lots of employees and very important data, and old systems that hold that data, older systems.
So now, if somebody wanted to learn more, where should they go?
Our website has a lot of interesting articles on it.
And white papers and a lot of education, right?
Videos and such. So that's www.catavault.com, C-A-T-A-V-O-L-T.
Now, is there a pain that a company would be having where it's a good time to check you guys out?
So we've seen a transition in the last year or so where a lot of mobilization was taken part at the business level, meaning a sales group would go out and buy, you know, some kind of mobile solution. And that was really almost disposable at the time. But it was okay for when where the market was. We're seeing IT take a leadership role now in how companies leverage mobile. And as soon as they do, they get a giant backlog of things that the business wants to do, and often sit there and just kind of wonder how they can do it.
Because they're overwhelmed?
They're overwhelmed. Right. So as soon as that happens, I think Catavault is a great partner that could help them get through that.
So an IT person that's overwhelmed is a good
that's a good start
for you.
That's right.
And the website again is catavault.com.
That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you both for being part of the show. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We'll be back next week with another episode of Atlanta Business Radio.